We haven't entirely nailed down what element it is yet, but I'll tell you this, it's a lively one.
Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 28 of Gaming with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I am managing editor at pixelkin.org and the mother of a three-year-old. I'm joined by fellow mom, Linda Brenneman.
Hello.
And a fellow child.
Yes. Awesome adult child, yes. Simone de Rochefort.
Yes, Simone de Rochefort. And we are joined this week by Morla Gorondona, who is also the mother of a three-year-old.
That's true.
Yeah. Ooh, do you like put them in pit fights together? Is that what you do with
no,
small children?
Anna mostly will just grab Morla's son and drag him around places. Yeah, he's very kind of chill and mellow, and Anna's all like extroverted, outgoing.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That's so adorable.
They love each other. It's sweet.
It is. Sweet. Anna has a total crush on him.
Yeah. Likewise. It goes both ways for sure.
Yeah. We'll be going to the pumpkin patch together this weekend, mm-hmm. Remlinger Farms.
Ooh.
And Anna has already been like, Kohler's going to sit next to me on the roller coaster. And Kohler's going to do this and he's going to do that. And I'm like, well, you have to ask him first, sweetie. You don't have to just assume that that's what he's going to do.
Well, you guys are in that sweet spot there between the parallel play where they sort of play alongside each other and ignore each other, and then they start learning how to play together. So.
Well, Anna tries to drag him along and play with him.
Yeah.
Right. And Kohler's response is, sure.
Yeah. He's kind of like, yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Oh, he sounds great.
He's easily convinced.
Yes. Yes.
He's a good sport.
So yeah, it's fun
That's
to have
adorable.
You on here.
Because, I'm so glad. Thanks for having
our
me.
Our kids yeah.
can
love
tell
each other.
Stories to embarrass your children when they're older.
Mm. Yeah.
Isn't that what being a mom is really all about?
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. If my mother's anything to judge by, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So Morla is a voice actress
True
who works
story.
In video games. So we'll get back to that in a minute. But we'll start like we always do with news. It is Back to the Future Day.
Yay. But it won't be when you listen to this episode.
That is true.
We'll be in the past.
The
yes.
real past. The
yes.
future
oh.
past. Future.
You're in the Tense. Future right now.
Oh, and we
right.
still won't have hoverboards all day.
Well, yeah.
well
we don't
talk
know
to Wiz
that.
Khalifa about that.
Yeah. That's true.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are those things that people
know.
Keep riding around? I don't know. I don't know.
He gets yeah. arrested for them, though.
That's unfortunate. And David Beckham did the same thing in that same airport like the next week, and he didn't get arrested. So
what?
Yeah, that's what I was like, come on,
okay,
guys.
What happened, you guys? What happened?
Wiz Khalifa was in LAX riding on his hoverboard, and he was arrested for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. He really had a hoverboard?
He, like, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how they work.
I don't know either.
I've been meaning to look into this. Mostly I was, you know, interested in the systemic racism on display in the story. I did not look into the actual hoverboard technology. Yeah. However,
it's the only time a hoverboard gets, like second fiddle. It gets, like, second
yeah.
string.
Yeah.
The only time.
Yeah. So as part of Back to the Future Day, Little Big Planet is getting this adorable
Yay.
Little set. Tell us about the set, Simone.
There's a level kit out for it's Back to the Future themed stuff for Little Big Planet 3. So there is a full level that you can play through where you're trying to power up the DeLorean and go save time, whatever they do in those movies. And then there's also a bunch of new materials and objects and things that you can use to build your own Back to the Future levels and two costume packs. They have the costumes from 1885
yeah.
and the costumes from 1955 and the costumes from 2015. So basically
Sweet.
They have all the good stuff. And you can buy the costumes separately, but if you buy each pack together, like all the 1885 costumes, you get a costume for the dog. Which is the most important thing.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's super cute. And Little Big Planet 3 is the one with not just Sackboy, but the other characters as well.
Yeah.
So Oddsock is the dog character who can wall jump, and you can dress him up, and that's very important.
Okay. So in other news, Star Wars. Star Wars Force Awakens tickets are on sale.
Oh, my
And
God.
If you didn't Whoa. Know that, you should act on that right now
they're
for
all,
Star Wars
They're all
fan.
Gone. All of them.
You know what?
All the tickets.
Last night, my husband and I were able to get some tickets for Friday during the day.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice. Are you
Alderwood
skipping work?
Mall. Of course I am. I've got comp hours loaded up, so.
That's fair. That's fair. I would do it. I need to get them. Actually, the most important thing about The Force Awakens is that Courtney's boyfriend, David, was on the nightly news for standing in line at the Cinerama to buy tickets to the freaking 7-hour marathon.
Yes, the marathon Courtney was telling about today. She's going to watch. Well, she said she'll probably skip the prequels. But this marathon thing is you watch all 6 movies and then you watch Force Awakens.
I'm just going to say this. Don't tell Courtney I said this, but Courtney and David are the biggest nerd couple I know.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is very true.
You're safe with us. It is totally safe.
Thank you, Morla. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, pretty exciting about that. Another Star Wars news, Star Wars Battlefront. That's a game and not a movie. Mm-hmm. They have just announced how the classic big characters are going to be used in the game. We're talking about Luke and Leia and Han Solo. And what's going to happen is that you find a power-up in the maps. This is in multiplayer. And then you can turn into one of those characters. It's for a limited time. And there can only be one hero or one villain on the map at the same time. Hmm. So, and then another cool thing is if someone's doing Princess Leia and you spawn next to her, then you turn into an Alderaan, however you pronounce it,
Alderaan.
Guard. Alderaan guard.
That is just awesome.
That yeah, really it's cool. really cool.
The character models look
They
Great.
Look incredible. Yes. We have a picture of Princess Leia up on the website right now, and it's so detailed and, like,
Carrie Fisher-like.
Yeah, it looks exactly like Carrie Fisher.
Yes, yes. And she's in the Hoth outfit, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so.
Not the
bun outfit.
I was going to say the one
Jabba,
that Jabba the Hutt puts
Jabba
her in.
Outfit.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that one, too.
Slave girl.
Yeah. Which... You know, some women, like if you're going to – it's been San Diego Comic-Con where I see it the most. But there are some girls there that pull that off so beautifully.
It must be a fun outfit to make and wear.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But
– It's different when it's a character without agency and
– Yeah.
She's – yeah. Mm.
But, you know, I can't imagine why you would actually want to do that if you – maybe they want all the attention, but, you know
– My buns would get cold.
I like that. That's because like, it's both of them.
Yeah.
Right? The hair.
Right.
I honestly didn't mean to do that.
Oh, it was good. No, it was really good. Take it. Own it.
But, you know, she's like harassed. Well, maybe she is technically harassed, but I'm using harassing in the, you know, men follow her around drooling, you know, at these conventions. And I don't understand. I mean, very, very lovely, beautiful girls I've seen do this, but.
Yeah,
I would never.
As far as I know from cosplaying, it's obnoxious when people do that. But it is like fun to get your photo taken and to be appreciated for the work that you put into a costume like that, which is really structurally difficult to pull off, especially the tiny ones that need to be stuck on. I haven't worn anything that skimpy, but.
Yeah, cosplaying's great. Anna, you know, found the Inside Out people at GeekGirlCon, and she was just completely smitten. She'd follow them or say, I want to say hi again. And we go back. I'm like, go ahead. They're
so
right
cute.
There. Go say hi. She was being shy, like for once in her life, which she never is. But yeah, so that was so cool. So we got a little off topic there, but that's okay. Pikachu is coming to Build-A-Bear. Yeah. So Build-A-Bear is this store where you go in and you pick a skin basically for your bear. He's empty. And then you go and stuff him and he gets stitched up and then you can put outfits on him and
God,
do all this crazy stuff.
You could have made that sound less morbid.
It's what you do, you know? So it's Pikachu is going to be there now.
Go ahead, honey. Pick your skin.
That is what it is. We haven't done one in the actual Build-A-Bear, but we did one at Atlantis Resort in Bahamas. They have their little special ones there, and we did it when Anna was like 18 months, and it was a turtle, and she was totally not interested in it, really. She like put like one handful of stuffing into the thing and was like, I'm done. But it was her first time at Atlantis, so we wanted to do something special, but she didn't really care about it. So, yeah, so Pikachu, he's going to have accessories
There will be accessories. There's a little Pokeball hoodie that he can wear, which sounds like the best thing, and a Charizard costume, which also sounds like the best thing. And then I think when you make the Pikachu, there's a limited edition Pokemon trading card that you get with it. I don't know how much it'll cost yeah. yet, if it'll be the same as other Build-A-Bears or more, but it's going to be adorable.
Yes.
And I want it.
I haven't been into a Build-A-Bear store, so I have no idea what they cost, although there is one in Alderwood Mall, which is close to the three mm-hmm. of us here. It's like right across from the toddler play area.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strategically placed.
I have always wanted to build a bear. Always. I never have.
Well, the mall is very close to you. You should go and do it.
I know.
I think you might be a little tall for the play area, but you could at least do the bear.
You're bringing up some really hurtful memories, Nicole.
Well, you know what? We were completely nice to each other on last week's podcast, so we missed it, so we got to make up for it.
Gloves off this time.
Yeah. So Apple TV is a thing that you can buy this week.
Yay. Or, well, it is. It's been a thing for a while, but the new model's coming out this week. I am pretty excited about this. It's going to be a really, really big change from the old Apple TV, if you're familiar with the old one. It was basically just for streaming shows, watching movies. You could rent movies through iTunes and things like that. And you could also play music. The new one, it's totally redesigned. They've built a new operating system called tvOS, which is not only making it a lot easier to browse and search for movies and things, but it will also have the App Store, just like you have on your phone. And so you can play apps on your TV with the new Siri remote that comes with the Apple TV, which is also a huge upgrade on that old crappy remote. So this, it's interesting. I've talked about this before. I'm still not sure what effect this will have on living room gaming. It honestly seems to me, like I said before, the people who want to play games on a TV and like see it on the big screen aren't necessarily the people who are playing apps. Because these are people who are like sitting down to have a quick game on their phone while they're doing something else.
Yeah.
They don't want to be dominating the living room space. However, it does introduce the possibility of playing multiplayer games on your TV with your phones as the controller,
yeah.
which is pretty cool. And I want it.
I'm kind of curious about how people are going to take, like, kind of the translation between using the touchpad on the controller and seeing
it
what is
gonna
going
be
on
hard.
On the screen.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, Anna plays the iPad so much, I'm like, I wonder, you know, that's the first thing I thought of when I was reading that. Like, I wonder if that would be something that she would pick up on. Because, you know, the user interface, she picks up on immediately. Mm-hmm. She can mm-hmm. move games to her folder. Yeah, so
which that I is noticed. My favorite thing of how she figured that out before she should have been able to do it at all.
Yeah, no, it was
so clever.
Yes. I just at least we don't have any, like, objectionable apps on there. Like, in my games, there's nothing like, well, I guess there is something mature. The Wolf Among Us is in there now. Mm. But it doesn't have a very interesting icon. So
yeah.
I don't think that she will want to move it. It's just a W. But, yeah, so I was, like, trying to think, like, how well she would adapt to something like that.
The remote itself, like I said, you can play with your phone, but the remote itself has a touch surface on it, so you can play with that and use touch controls just like you would on your phone. But like you said, it's not like pressing on the image like we're used to. You have to get used to it being somewhat at a distance from you. I am excited to try it, but I think that it will be sufficiently awkward to not be incredibly compelling. Apple is promoting a third-party controller called the Nimbus from SteelSeries that can be used with the Apple TV. And I'm pretty sure it will also be compatible with other third-party iOS controllers. So they're not necessarily trying to take over living room gaming. It kind of seems like they're just going to throw it onto the wall and see if it sticks. But,
So how much does all this cost?
The 32 gigabyte, the gigabit, oh my God, yeah, no, God. 32 gigabyte Apple TV is $149 and the 64 is $199, which is a big upgrade from the, okay, well, it is a big upgrade. Like, the components of it are a lot more advanced than the old one. The old one costs like $70 right now, and that's the one that I have. It will not be able to do any of this stuff. So once the new Apple TV comes out, like, you're not going to be able to get the App Store on your old one. You'll still use the old remote control. But it has a totally new chip in it. It uses the A8 chip, which is used in the iPhone 6. And the old one uses the same chip used in the iPhone 4S so many generations ago. So it's going to be a lot more powerful. And that's why the price hike.
Yeah. That's not that bad of a price.
Oh, definitely
not. I mean, when you consider other Apple devices, like the iPad itself is $800 or something like that. So it's not too bad.
Definitely.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. So in other news, NPD has released the top-selling games for September. The funny thing about NPD is they've been doing these for a long, long time, these sales lists. But they don't take into account digital sales, which is getting to be a bigger and bigger thing.
Yeah.
So they just track physical sales of the discs. So the top-selling game was NBA 2K16, which is a little surprising to me. It beat out Madden. They actually said that 2K16 was the best launch of a sports game ever.
Dang.
So it has completely blown Madden out of the water. I was really surprised about that. So
cool.
We'll have the review.
Yay, basketball.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have the review up on Pixelkin tomorrow. And then obviously Madden was one of the top selling ones. Disney Infinity, Mario Maker, Minecraft, Destiny, Metal Gear Solid 5.
Hey.
Destiny. We'll get to that in a minute. Your typical. And the interesting thing is there Disney Infinity is on there, but Skylanders is not.
Why?
Why, Simone? Why
it's
is that?
Better.
I don't know why that is. I object.
It did come out a little later, though. But it wasn't a lot.
That's true.
It was like a week later, right?
No. Disney Infinity came out on August 30th, and Skylanders came out on September 20th.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
so that's probably the reason. Okay. So there's hope. Check back in. Is it monthly that they do this?
It's monthly that they do this,
I'll check back in next month, and then we'll see. We'll see who the winner is.
I wonder what the list would look like if it did have digital downloads on it.
Yeah. Probably completely different.
Completely different, right. I'm thinking,
I don't think the sports games would even be in there at all, honestly.
Yeah.
Are you I don't know.
I mean, maybe.
Those are so popular, even though, I mean, we don't really talk about them as much because there's not a lot to talk about, to be honest.
I really think that people who play sports games are completely different from people who play, regular games. Because I think that most people who play sports games kind of – that's the only games that they play because they're big sports fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They go pick it up at Target or something.
Yeah, exactly. I'm totally making an assumption here, but that seems to be the case. So, if they were counting digital, I think it would be totally different.
We should put a poll up on the website.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that. So moving on. Morla is here today because she is a voice actress.
Excited.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And if you probably heard her cheer, but she had some work done in Destiny. So tell us about Destiny first.
I guess I'll start at the beginning with, Where do I start?
Every time my roommate plays a mission with the Hive, I hear those screams and I think of you.
Yeah. Well, then we'll start with that. So I got my start in Destiny as the voice of the Hive. So all this, the screeches and the screams, that's me. And that was also, I later found out, is also used in a lot of the weaponry too. So you can hear my voice zipping by your ears.
Nice.
So that's how I got my start. And then later when with the Dark Below, I came in, I was as Eris Morn and also Omnigul in that as well. So I at different times you would hear Eris Morn, Omnigul, the Hive, and the weapon. So you could hear my voice in five different ways in any given room. So but Eris Morn is my character. I voice Eris Morn, and I am back for The Taken King.
Yes.
As Eris Morn.
Wow. Yes. Awesome.
That is so exciting.
So one of the criticisms about Destiny has been about how Peter Dinklage's VO was kind of very different than the rest of it. And I know we talked about this before, kind of. Morla and I, we know each other pretty well because of our children.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about kind of why that is?
Well, it's interesting. Not every actor for screens is not always going to translate well to voiceover, and not every voiceover actor is going to translate well to screen. And the same goes for theater. It's there's each has its own niche. And for screens, there's a lot of acting that happens in the face. You can demonstrate an intent or demonstrate emotion through the eyes. A lot of acting is in the eyes and subtle facial gestures. And that, you know, that of course, obviously, that doesn't always translate, or it doesn't translate at all in voiceover. It has to be all on the voice. And the same is with theater. Acting is reacting. So you get that feedback when you're on a stage. You're able to respond to what someone's doing, and you don't have that as a voice actor. You have to assume a response and assume how an actor is going to portray. If you're giving lines back and forth, you have to assume how the other actor is going to say a line and then respond to it that way. Mm. But it's very isolated. It's very singular work. Mm-hmm. And it's all of the energy is focused completely on the voice.
Yeah. So in that respect, how do you prepare and get in character and stay in character when it's essentially just you and the microphone?
To stay in character, well, I don't know. Staying in character has never really been an issue for me. It's finding the mode, finding the things that get me to that character. Like for Eris, I have my my warm up that I do. You're all familiar.
Yes,
the warm up. I have my warm up that I do, of course, and then I have a series of different actually songs that I listen to that help me get into the Eris character. And once I'm there, I'm pretty much there. I can kind of pop out for every once in a while. But you know, if there's a question that somebody has, the director has of me, and I can, you know, kind of pop out into Morla and then hop back into it. But yeah, I stay there for the duration
cool.
for
hours.
Oh gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of direction that goes on as you're recording? Eris, for instance?
So each line gets some direction. It's scripts for voiceover is usually in an Excel spreadsheet. And so each line has an intent.
Oh, okay.
And so I read the line and it's usually given three different ways with a specific intent.
Wow.
How long does it usually take you to get through a day of recording?
Sessions are... I'm a member of the union, so sessions are not longer than than 4 hours.
Yeah. Cool.
So how did you get started in voice acting altogether?
Oh, I love this story. it's my favorite because it's not obvious. And I started out in theater. Actually, I did my very first play when I was in second grade. I decided then that's what I'm going to do. And I have my degree is in theater. I have a BFA in theater, and I decided that's I was going to pursue a life of non-musical theater on Broadway, and went to New York, did that thing. I auditioned a lot, and I kept getting cast for voiceovers, for commercials. Mm. And I was like, okay, yeah, all right, fine, I'll do those. And those
make
things,
that money,
right? Exactly. But I'm going to pursue theater because it's my noble pursuit. it is what my degree is in. It's my So I just kept getting cast in commercials, and then eventually I just kind of had a paradigm shift where I was introduced to video games. That's really the fundamental thing. As I was introduced, I was asked, "Hey, have you ever considered working in video games?" And I said that's just not even possible. That doesn't because I was like NES girl, right? So I was playing Spy versus Spy, and there's no voices in that. But I was introduced to BioShock, and my eyes opened wide. I didn't know this existed. This is a possibility, and it's wonderful because it's everything that I love about theater without any of the things that I don't like about theater. So I'm unlimited in characters that I can audition for, that I can play. Mm-hmm. There's no physical restrictions. So I can, if I can get my voice there, there's no limits. There's no limits as to what I can play. And then I love rehearsal process, but it's also very time consuming, and especially with a child, it's like, how I couldn't even imagine justifying a four week run of a show plus the rehearsal on top of that, and just so physically exhausting as well. It's 4 hours a day.
Nice.
And the reach is better as well. I can play to a theater of 200, 500 people and be like, yay, we packed the house. Or I can reach millions and millions of people around the world. That's huge impact. To have that kind of impact is amazing. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Wow. Quick question.
Sure.
Have you played kind of a straight ahead male character in a video game yet? Are you interested in that?
No, I haven't. I haven't played. Yeah, of course I would. Of course I would. Yeah, definitely.
I could totally see you doing it.
Cool. You know, it's funny, but I was one of my favorite auditions that I ever did was I auditioned for Henry, going back to theater, I auditioned for Henry V. And I was like, oh, you know what? It was exciting that the theater was even considering having a female in the role. And I walked away thinking, it was just so exciting to be able to do that. And I thought, like, I could do that. I could play that role.
And
it's
just, totally
had anything to do with whether the theater wanted to go that route.
Right,
and they decided not to go that route. I know. But it was really exciting. I really enjoyed that, the possibility of that.
If you could go back in time and audition for any role in BioShock, what would it be?
Oh, wow.
It's been a while since that game came out, so I understand if no names jump to mind.
Yeah. Sophia Lamb.
For
sure.
Yeah.
It's so funny. BioShock was, I think, one of the first games for me that really kind of blew my mind in that way also. Mm-hmm. When I was playing it with my brother, it was like he sat me down and made me watch the opening sequence. And before that, I played games, but I didn't like sit down and play through one all the way to the end to see what happened in the end. And that for me, BioShock was like, okay, well now I'm stuck. I've gotta see this through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a wonderful, wonderful game.
Everything with that game, audio wise, was just amazing. Gary Scheinman's score.
Oh,
so good. And the whole idea of the licensed music and how I think it was actually Emily Ridgway who really made a point to get the licensed music that they got, and she said that she wanted it to reach a new generation.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was really fantastic. It was talk about noble pursuits.
Yeah, it really set the tone for everything in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so important. So you've also been in Infamous.
Yeah, Infamous 2.
Infamous 2, right, with your New Orleans drawl.
Yes. That's right. That was another one. A lot of the games that I've worked on, I went out, I pursued them, I got them. I decided that was a game that I wanted to be in, and I went and I joined organizations to find out who the people are that I needed to talk to, go to GDC so I could actually meet those people, read Game Informer to find out what's coming up. And Infamous 2 was one when I heard about it, I was like, I have to be in this game.
Yeah.
It's set in New Marais. I do quotation marks. New Marais, which is it's New Orleans, essentially.
Yes.
And then I found out from the audio director that they were really trying to make it very authentic. They hired a band called Galactic to do the score, and I love Galactic. So I was like, yeah, definitely. It just added to my need to be a part of it. So I found out who I thought was the person that I needed to talk to, called her up, was like, I here's the reasons why I need to be in this game. Just like completely unsolicited. She's like, that's great. I'm not the person you need to talk to. But I was like, oh, man. She said, but I know who you do need to talk to. And yeah. So she put me in touch with her. And she later said, she's like, I've never had anyone express such a desire to be a part of a game. I need it. She said, I wanted to help you be in this game because of how I approached it. So, yeah.
That is so great.
So, yeah, I went and I did a lot of different Southern accents. So accents are my specialty, and Southern accents are my forte. And New Orleans accents is like, oh, forget about it. That's like my mastery. So yeah, and there's so many different
you're
New
from
Orleans.
There, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
There we
go.
Oh, that was the key piece of that puzzle right there.
Yes.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing it back. I'm from New Orleans, so I had to be a part of this game. Yeah, there are a lot of different accents in New Orleans. A lot of people don't know that there are so many different accents, and I wanted to add that level of authenticity. And I think that they were happy for it.
Oh, geez. Could you say something with a New Orleans accent?
Which one?
Linda.
Yeah, well, the most common one is it's something called a yat. So,
yat.
Yeah, Y'AT. It comes from the saying way yat, which actually doesn't mean where are you. It means how are you.
Oh, okay.
So the correct response is, all right. So let me think about something very yet. So a very common thing that they say in New Orleans is, hey, where you at? How's your mom and them? How's your mom and them? You making groceries over there at the Schwagman's? So, yeah, there's some, like New Orleans, like you do. You go over to Girard Street and you pass a good time. And you have some oysters and some crawfish over at the barrel. You got to wash it all out in the zinc.
Oh. I'm glad that you were able to lend your voice.
Yeah.
So that we could know.
So, yeah, that's
awesome.
And now I'm going to be talking like that for the rest of the day. Thanks. I won't be able to get out of that. It's all right.
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Oh.
But, yeah, then there was also – I went to school in I went to Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi in Oxford. And so one of the characters that I suggested just because of proximity was the sorority, again, quotation marks, a sorority girl type accent, which I think is that's the one that you said that you've all, Nicole, you've heard the most.
And laughed.
It was like, oh, my God, y'all.
Yeah. And like, screw this town. It's like a drunk, it was hilarious. It was hilarious.
Y'all. I can't even think. So, like, I remember, like during Rush Week, people would talk about their sorority sisters and say, Betsy, come on. Oh, my God. We're going to go to the swap, and we're going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So great.
That's
great.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I love accents. I love doing accents.
Yeah. So you're in a pretty big game coming up, and you're a fairly big character.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit.
So excited. I am – it's coming up November 6th, I believe.
Yes.
November 6th. It is Call of Duty Black Ops 3, and I am the specialist by the name of Battery. And she is so badass. And she's comes from a family of she's a military brat. Everyone in her family is military. She's like the youngest of five, all brothers, all in the military.
Yeah.
So it is her. That is just all her life. Her whole life is this. So she's very focused.
Is she one of the augmented characters, or is she? Because I know in Black Ops 3, there people get like cybernetic implants and stuff and become kind of superhuman. Does she have any cybernetic implants or any super fancy things?
Her big item is that she's got this amazing amazing weapon called the Warhammer.
Cool.
But there's all kinds of she has all kinds of specialties and special abilities, and it's really cool.
I am so glad there are more women in that game. I know Katie Sackhoff is also in it, which is great.
Yeah.
I remember my defining memory of Call of Duty Advanced Warfare was the trailer where at the end, you hallucinate this beautiful woman in a low-cut dress leaning over you, and then it turns out to be a goat. So anyway, I'm glad that there are female soldiers. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, I feel very proud of that specifically. I did a lot of research. I watched a lot of interviews of women in the military, specifically Vernice Armour. I watched interviews with her and just kind of seeing how she conducts interviews, and how when she's like on, when she is in that zone, and then also like how she is personally outside of that, and just seeing the difference in that. But I was impressed with her interviews. Just meticulously watching for every little shift in the eye, and every delivery, and how it was so specific. It was such a specific thing. So,
that is really interesting.
I want to meet her one day. I want to meet her. She's so cool.
Have you ever done motion capture, or would you be interested in doing motion capture?
There's facial capture. Definitely, I've done that. And that was used in The Taken King for mm-hmm. sure, performance capture is something that I'm very interested in. I actually started taking some classes, kickboxing and lots of martial arts, so that I can do a lot more of that mm-hmm. type of thing. Definitely, yeah.
That's
definitely
really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, what advice would you give to people who want to get into voice acting?
Well, first, play games. Play games, because it's interesting how many people I get asked this question a lot. How do I get into voiceover? Like, well, oh, or if you love doing voiceover for games, is it because you love games? Like, oh no. I just want to do that.
I just want to grunt for four hours and get that money.
I was like, well, would you want to be in movies if you didn't watch movies? Like, what? So it's definitely know your trade. Definitely know the industry that you want to be a part of, so you can participate in the conversation. And it helps also just in line read. So you like, okay, well, these are just like, you know, battle cry, like just shouting out things. Yeah. Like, you understand what that means, and you understand a lot of the lingo that happens, or recurring terms that happen. So as far as process, I have kind of a my formula how I started out is that I join organizations like the Game Audio Network Guild to be a part of the conversation and to meet other people in the industry. A lot of people that we all got started out at the same time, we all joined GANG at the same time, they're audio directors, they're casting directors. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, you know, we kind of grew up together. And so it's nice to be able to have that history. Also, going to GDC, mm. having an opportunity to meet people face-to-face, it's very focused. It's very business oriented, but there's also a lot of hang. And I cannot overemphasize just like the hanging out and getting to know people on a personal level, and having conversations with them as well.
Being a real person,
you know, it's being really, really brave and really tenacious about it. Like, for instance, the infamous two. Opportunity that I spoke about, and the first game that I ever landed, it was out of an audition that I kind of threw myself into in the middle of an industry event, and the audio director was talking about how he didn't think that actors had maybe three characters in their pocket, and they wouldn't be able to do voices different enough to be able to justify using them for more characters, or that like he wanted to be able to find an actor who could have be one character and having a conversation with the other character, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. I said, oh, yeah, you mean like this? And I started doing exactly that, where I portray myself as one character, and then I had a conversation with that character right there in the middle of this party. And he was like, just kind of looked at me for a little while. I was like, yeah, I think that's what I'm talking about, right? So yeah,
everybody around you was like, what?
Like, oh, it's GDC, no problem. We get it all the time.
Yeah.
No. But yeah, I wound up landing that. I didn't need to do more than one character, but it was something about him knowing that I had that ability. He was like, yes, okay, you were hired.
Cool. That would take bravery.
It was actually my very first GDC, too.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, here it is. You got to jump on the opportunity. I'm going to go. Just go, go, go.
Yeah.
And I did. And so I'm really proud of myself for that. And
yeah.
and every move since then, too, just to, like, just go. Find out what it is that I want. Know what games are coming out. Read Game Informer. Mm-hmm. You know, go to IGN. And, yeah, just be knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Marla and I met at IGN, even though we didn't realize
so
it.
So funny.
So funny. So were both members of a mom's club in the east side here of Seattle because our children are the same age. And, you know, when Marla joined, I was like, man, like, I know her from somewhere. And I was just thinking like, oh, I must have seen her at GDC or, you know, something like that. And then she's like, kids are on the swings. We're talking to each other. And she's like, yeah, I used to do like some voice, you know, lessons at IGN. And I'm like, that's where I know you from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back from the VO workshops. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's such a small world.
I know. Yeah.
Especially in this industry.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. Okay. So do you guys have any more questions
I
for Marla?
I thought I did. And I guess, what are you most excited about in the next year, if you can say anything at all?
Oh, yeah.
You can answer in an abstract, a metaphor if you want.
Yeah, it's got a couple of really good things on the horizon. I'm really excited about. Unfortunately, I can't.
Can't talk. Yeah. About no one in the game industry can ever talk about what they're doing.
I know. It's true. But yeah. Fingers crossed.
Cool.
And I'll definitely let y'all know.
Yes. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much for being here,
for
Marla.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now we're going to transition into our final segment, which is what we're playing. Simone is
you gonna
dancing.
You going to read that letter?
After we talk about what we're playing.
Check in.
Simone's dancing. Why don't you start?
I don't
then?
Know why I'm dancing. I played Minecraft Story Mode this week, and I both liked it and didn't like it. My review, I just finished writing it today. It felt very, very much like a first episode. It was a little rough in places, a little slow. I do really like a lot of the characters. Like the main character, Jesse, is wonderful. And you can play as either male Jesse, who is voiced by Patton Oswalt, or female Jesse, who's voiced by Catherine Tabor. And both of them are great. I love that. I love having that choice. And I love Ashley Johnson's character, Petra, as well. But there was a few things that I felt were kind of rough. Like the combat was, you know, not terribly inspired, which... Yes, it's a Telltale game. They tend to follow the same format, but it was still, like, very difficult. Like, in the first zombie fight that I had, you know, you'd be edging forward with the joystick, and then you'd press X to whack a zombie, and it was kind of hard to tell if you were at the correct distance. And then for the first time I killed a zombie, there was this combo that I had to do as a QuickTime event, and that only happened once, and it didn't come back in any of the other, like, zombie defeating that I did. So it was kind of just like I would just watch my character finish off the zombie, and I was like, that's fine. I mean, But that minor complaint, but it just felt kind of not terribly compelling in that sector. I did love most of the QuickTime events, and I might be the only person who loves QuickTime events in Telltale games.
Them too.
But good. We're together
Telltale
on this.
Telltale games are awesome.
Yes. I did definitely like it. But I feel like they were kind of searching for that ground between the more adult stories that they tell and, you know, Minecraft, which is a kid's game, or at least a very child popular game.
Yes.
And they did not quite hit that spot of being funny and being clever and being compelling all at once. Mm. And there were definitely parts that were all those things together. But then there were other parts that felt a little easy and juvenile, and other parts that... Also, they swore like twice, and I was like, whoa. It's rated E10+ by the ESRB. They said hell and damn, I think, each once. And I was like, really? Whoa. Like, could have just not written that and had it been rated E, have been rated E? Oh, my God. Yes. That sentence was a train wreck or a minecart wreck, perhaps.
Yes.
We won't worry about it. I definitely am really excited to see where the following episodes go. I think... you know, it's a start. It's a rough one, but I do like where the story's going, and I love how many female characters there are. I like how many people of color there are. So, A+ on that.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's what what I did.
Awesome.
I love the pig, Ruben. He's very important. He's a VIP, a very important pig.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Were you just saying VIP, or is that part of the?
That's just
game.
Me.
Oh, okay. Nice. All right. Marla, how about you?
Oh, I've been jumping around a lot. Got some Witcher up in there. Taken King, of course.
Okay.
But fired up most recently is Yoshi's Woolly World, which is really sweet. Oh, and the audio is good. The audio is so good. The vocalizations that Yoshi make are adorable.
He's so cute.
Yes.
And I don't know. I got this sense of, like, Christmas. You know, it felt like opening up the NES on Chris, like, oh, that warm toasty feeling on the inside. It's very sweet.
Do you have the woolly yarn Yoshi?
The
amiibo? Yeah.
There's
a figure that is made of wool that you can buy that is it's the amiibo, so it has the NFC chip in it, so you get, like, extra. I don't know what you get with the woolly yarn Yoshi.
I have no idea either. I don't have a Wii U.
There you go. Anyway, it's adorable.
Yes. Yes, they are adorable.
Is it weird to hear your own voice in a game when you're playing? Like, do you have a moment of, like, that sounds familiar? Oh, it's me.
I think I'm probably really hypercritical. Like, I was like, oh, I could have delivered that differently. And sometimes it's just really gratifying. Like, oh, yeah, that's good. I like that. That was very cool. Meant.
Excellent screaming, me.
Oh, okay. Pat, pat, pat.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I actually think I tend to kind of stay away from games that I've worked on just because I know that I'll pick apart every single line. But I'm getting past it. No, I get past it.
Cool.
Yeah. How about you, Linda?
I've been playing this game called Ghosts of Memories, which is a lot like Monument Valley, which we all loved so much. Monument Valley was an extremely innovative game. I think everyone agrees about that. And this game has, in all the materials that it sent out, it's kind of billed itself as just like Monument Valley or the heir to Monument Valley. It's also said that it's an innovative game, which I didn't find to be the case just because it was so much like Monument Valley. It was like exactly like Monument Valley in terms of the gameplay and the way, you know, the spooky music playing and the sound effects and the puzzles that are kind of like Escher-like paintings. And it's a little bit different in that there's a lot more switching between two worlds in order to solve the puzzles. But it's really fun. I ended up, you know, saying, just get over your Monument Valley ripoff problem.
Yeah. The whole PR strategy was really weird to me.
It was. It wasn't good. And I the development company is out of Warsaw, Poland.
Mm.
And I just felt like maybe they had a slightly different cultural approach to PR or something. But, that may not have been the best strategy. But I do think the game is good.
Would you recommend it to people who want to play more Monument Valley?
I would, actually. Yeah, I would. If you're not, you know, so much of a fanboy or girl of Monument Valley that you just can't stand it not being Monument Valley, then I would say it's a similar game in terms of gameplay. And yeah, it's pretty fun, pretty satisfying puzzles. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been playing a few things. So, you know, we've been playing Castle Crashers with Anna, which she still asks about. She was asking if she could play as a boss. And
I said,
no, honey, you can't play as the boss. So you can get the skins for like all the bad guys. She's all into that. But then she's like, I want to play as the boss. And I didn't have a good answer for her. I said there is a game where you can play as a boss, but it is completely not a game that you're going to play in many, many years. So we were trying to find something else that we could load up with her. We booted up Never Alone, which is a game about an Alaskan native girl, and she has a fox. Unfortunately, there is a bear sequence at the beginning of that game, and Anna...
Oh, she's still scared of bears.
She doesn't like the bears. So she didn't want to play that. Peggle. We tried to load up Peggle, and Peggle would not work. We're in the preview program, so we have the new dashboard. And I'm wondering if that was why Peggle doesn't work, honestly.
That's unacceptable.
I know. We tried.
Call Phil Spencer.
We tried it three times and it didn't work. And I was like, because like you see like the loading screen, it's like rainbows. And she's like, oh, rainbows, you know. So, so that was unfortunate. So hopefully we'll be able to do that soon. She wants to play games with us so much that I'm just trying to find things. And she is playing Animal Jam on the iPad, and she is always bringing it over to me. Look, Mommy, look what this decoration that I got for this house, and they're doing this whole Halloween theme right now. So she had a little haunted house that she can decorate, and she's like, look, now you decorate. But then she tells me what I need to decorate with.
Yes.
It's just like the store thing that she plays and says, no, you want to buy bears. So we're looking for more of that. So if you guys have recommendations on that front, we don't have anything that's terribly violent. Castle Crashers is probably the most that we will go just because it's kind of goofy and cartoony. And then me, Alpha Bear, more Alpha Bear. I'm not beating the childish boss yet, who, is in a diaper with a pacifier.
I think that's a metaphor for your life.
Maybe. In a diaper with a pacifier, and he's so hard to beat. Like, the board is really, really small. And apparently you get a bonus for two-letter words in that one.
Ooh.
So I was trying to do all two-letter words. Still didn't work for me. But I think it's because the board is so small. Like, I can do the whole thing, like giant bear, full board, every single time. I still can't beat him. And it's like by
a
lot. It's by a lot that I can't beat him. So it's going to take a while, unfortunately. And then Hearthstone, which did really bad at last night. It was just totally having bad luck. But I did see they pulled up the screen with the update that said the card that they nerfed, and that this is what it was like now. So I didn't go up against anybody who was a warrior, so I couldn't see if they have ditched the Grim Patron strategy, but hopefully I'll see that soon.
Was that the one where every time you saw it, you'd just be like, nope, bye?
Yes, okay. Yes. That's what it is. So they didn't actually nerf that card. They nerfed a card that just makes this whole kind of snowball effect of things possible. And so and that was a good choice. You know, I think they thought about it a lot and – you know, really, you know, they posted on their blog, like, we don't just do, you know, whatever because somebody complains. Like, we really – like, making a change to a card is a huge deal. And, like, they really study everything that they introduce in all those expansion packs and make sure that the game is fair. So –
That sounds like Blizzard.
Yeah.
I went to BlizzCon in 2010 and watched a fascinating panel all about nerfing things.
Yeah.
And how people get so upset.
Yeah.
Like, there are all these people in the audience just freaking out about what got nerfed or what didn't get nerfed. And then this panel up in the front was just trying to calm everyone down and saying,
oh my gosh,
you know, it's okay. We're figuring it out.
Yeah,
it'll be
yeah.
all right.
Yeah.
We're trying to balance it. We're not trying to attack you.
Passionate fans.
Yeah, I don't know if that's just luck, but like I said, I didn't come across a warrior and I played like 10 games.
Nice.
And I lost them all. I was
oh,
so
no.
upset.
Nicole.
I was not getting the cards that I needed. Like, you know, you get drawn, you're drawing your first hand. You get like three or four cards depending upon whether you go first. And you can just discard as many of those as you want to get new cards. And I was discarding because I had my high mana cards would get in there.
Yeah.
I'm like, discard, I want some low mana stuff. And then it would just come back with the high mana.
Oh,
I'm like, it was very frustrating. I dropped like three ranks, even though I don't care about rank really that much. But yes.
Sure.
So,
next time it'll be better.
Yeah, sure. I've been irritated. I couldn't beat the Alpha Bear boss. And then I'm like, oh, whatever. I'll go in and play some Hearthstone. And then
betrayed by games,
yeah,
the Nicole Tanner story.
I was. So the last thing here is we have a question. Hooray.
Thank you, Esteban.
Yes. Esteban has asked us a question on a previous podcast. And he just wrote us this wonderful letter about how much he loves us, which is so, so awesome. And says,
we love him, too.
We do. We do. He's like, he was feeling your pain when the Disney Infinity file got disappeared. He actually...
Open the wounds, Esteban.
Yeah. has not been a father, but he just found out that his wife is expecting.
Aww.
So congratulations.
Yes.
And he's probably in the freakout mode, as you know that happens. So the question that he has for us this time is how we feel about when is the right time to introduce more mature games to kids, such as Halo, Tomb Raider, Mortal Kombat, that kind of stuff.
Now, interesting question.
Those, yeah, and those games are completely different in how I would introduce them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anna's only five, and I – we don't let her watch really movies or TV shows that are even.
Did you just say Anna's five?
Anna's not five.
You did.
I'm tired. Anna's three. I was thinking, my husband and I were talking about Star Wars and when she would see Star Wars. And
okay.
We were, you know, predicting that maybe she was would be five when she saw that. No, she's three. So she does not watch movies or TV shows that have anything type of violence. Like Pixar stuff is the most risque that you would get. And she doesn't watch Brave because she's terrified of the bear at the beginning.
Well, you need to show her Star Wars so she can see the Ewoks and Chewbacca and be like, oh, okay,
yeah.
I'm not afraid of large furry monsters now.
Yeah, then maybe she'll get over the bears. Yeah, that would
point.
Be cool.
They're your friends.
But we're holding out. We're,
okay,
we're
holding
hold out,
hold out
for the original originals. The original, original, originals to come out
oh.
without the George Lucas.
Gosh.
I must
ugh.
Change everything in them. So, and I have them on VHS, but, you know, who watches VHS tapes? I don't even think I have any way to play them anymore. So like I said, it's different for each game. So, like, Halo is – everybody's in armor and
yeah.
well, except for the aliens. And so it's kind of different for me because you're not, like, shooting – well, in multiplayer, you're shooting other people. But in the story mode, you're not really doing that
mm-hmm.
at all. And Tomb Raider, the most recent Tomb Raiders, have gotten pretty gritty. So,
yeah.
obviously, I'm thinking about age and I –
it so depends on the individual for me. Like when I think of things that I saw when I was a kid. I mean, like Anna, certain things would scare me or freak me out, and certain other things just completely went over my head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my story is always me reading the Anne Rice books when I was in middle school and not realizing that two characters were gay and in a relationship, despite the fact that there was literal on-screen sex or on-page sex.
Yes.
And I read this, and I years later, I looked back on it, and I was like, oh, my God. So it really – and, you know, maybe you want to introduce your kid to something like that. Not obviously – sex when they're 5 years, or like literal sex scenes when they're 5 years old. But, you know, you can turn that into a conversation and you want them to acknowledge it maybe. But certain things are just going to not strike them at all.
And hence when Amy Lang was on our podcast, actually are starting to have some conversations about sex with Anna. So she knows what's going on and does not get misinformed.
Exactly. I didn't mean don't have like sex talks at all, but like don't like drop Anne Rice on them and let them go off into the wild.
And so the other thing that I have some experience with is my nephew. He's a senior in high school now, so I've watched him kind of grow. And he's always loved games, and he thinks my husband is the coolest thing in the world because he works on Halo. But like my brother would let him play things like Left 4 Dead. Or things where it's like zombies or like monster type things. And then he played Halo. And just recently he's been playing Call of Duty because he's – well, actually, technically, he is now the 17 and up. So he can play whatever he wants. It really just depends on the kid and the game. I can't imagine that I would ever want to introduce Mortal Kombat to Anna because I think that's a terrible game. And a terrible representation of women. So probably none of those I would ever introduce to her. But she may come across them. But stuff with a good story, even if it's a little gritty, I could see possibly introducing her around 12, 13 if she understands stuff like that. But
who I think that's knows? Fair to say. And like for me, I think at a certain time when they're coming up into their tween or teen years, I do think it is important to expose them to things like that, not just because they will seek it out and find it on their own and experience it on their own without your guidance, but also because I think it does help in almost like exposure therapy to traumatic or frightening things. Like I feel it's not helpful at all to grow up without experiencing any violence in media, without experiencing any sex in media, because if you are that sheltered when you go out into the world and those things have never been addressed in your life, then you're going to be confused and traumatized by the world. So,
And it's just a totally different experience, I think, to give a tween kid, 10 or 11 or 12, a game to play on their own versus sitting down with them and playing with them and talking about all the things in the game that might be frightening or violent or have sexual content or whatever. If you're talking with them as a parent as you go along, that's just a completely different experience. And it's great. It's great to use video games as object lessons. The way you would use television or movies, too. Yeah.
There totally is an interview that I did with Ina Braxton. I think it's probably like 2 years ago now.
Who is the expert on that?
Yes,
by
she's
the way.
Wonderful. She literally did play Mortal Kombat with her 12-year-old son. And her strategy for that was to just point things out to him and be like, oh, her boobs look weird. What do you think about that? And he was like, yeah, that sucks. And like bringing up like, why do you think the women's costumes fall off when they get beaten up? And his answer to that was, well, they want to make them look silly. And she was like, okay, yeah, at 12, he doesn't understand like systematic sexism and the patriarchy, but he can say like, that's being done to a character because somebody doesn't respect her. Yeah. So, they're putting these things together. They're not necessarily articulating them like we would as adults, but you can start kind of introducing those concepts at a young age.
Mm. Yes. All right. Mm.
I also wanted to mention to Esteban, too, that right now the American Academy of Pediatrics or recently has been saying no screen time for kids under 2, I think. Is the recommendation.
They just changed all the recommendations.
They did change it. And I think they're actually relaxing a little bit and recognizing that what's important is face-to-face time with your child. And so if you are having that face-to-face time and there's perhaps an iPad between you or you're both looking at the iPad or playing the game, but you're playing it together and you're interacting, that's completely different from just handing the thing to your 18-month-old.
I think one of the things that they said was that they're starting to recognize that there are certain types of play that you would do, just physical play or whatever, but now that's just happening virtually. and that,
right,
you know,
exactly.
You're still doing the same type of playing. It's just, you know, on a screen instead of, yeah. So they have basically, they used to be like really hyper, like no screen time, no screen time under two. And then they were like limited to whatever, all the way up to like age 10 or whatever. And then one of the things they said too is that, you know, they realize that they needed to change because otherwise they're going to be obsolete and no one's going to pay attention to them at all. It's just going to be like a joke, which is what I have felt about it for the past year. I'm like, come on, you know.
Yeah.
But
I love the line in his letter where he was saying he was sure that he didn't understand the joy and sorrow or challenges or whatever will come with being a parent. And I think you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
Until you're a parent, you don't understand that, but it is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And congratulations. That's
so cool. Absolutely.
Yeah, yay.
Yeah. You'll have to keep us posted on how things go. That would be awesome.
Come back in 9 months.
Updates on kids. I have updates on my kid all the time. She's being difficult right now, but
still, it's been like 3 weeks.
Yeah,
it's been like a month.
She is she's three and a half. And you know what I'm finding with lots of parents that I talk to is that it's the halves that are bad. Mm-hmm. So it's like 18 months to two is bad. 2.5 to 3 is bad. 3.5 to 4 is bad. So
that's so interesting.
It is. It is really interesting. And actually, that's what my experience has pretty much been. So she's in that half difficult stage.
I liked what you said about the three-nager.
The three-nager, yes.
Three-nager.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I see that. It was like a – what was it? It was something like being a three and a teenager, and there's like the mood swings. And
yes.
I didn't have
agony.
That.
Yeah.
Is your son three?
He's also three. He's fast approaching three and a half.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah.
He's
a few
months younger than Anna. A few months.
Soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yes.
Is he wearing the superhero cape everywhere yet, or is that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
there you go.
He I love that.
He went to – he wears it around the house. He's got a bunch of different ones. He's got the Superman, the Batman, and a Robin, actually.
Nice.
And then he's got the T-shirts that have capes on them. And he wanted to wear it to school. I got to pick out – every so often I let him pick out his outfit. And he picked out the Superman with the cape. It was a cold day. I was like, well, you have to wear it. A jacket.
Yeah.
I was like, no. A jacket because then I can't fly. I was like, I don't know. Your teacher might appreciate the fact that you can't fly. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we compromised. He wore a shirt underneath so he could still fly.
I still remember that. My son, here I am being that mom and embarrassing their child. He's 27 now. But when he was 3 and 4 years old, you could not get that kid out of a cape, man. Okay.
My little brother used to like to dress up like Jasper from 101 Dalmatians. The costume was not entirely accurate, but he would wear these like high rubber boots and corduroy pants, a nice like tucked in shirt and a suit jacket and this little red hat. And he was so fancy and he loved to dress up like this.
That's insane.
He's still very stylish today.
So
I think he
cute.
Went through a slobby period, but now he's back to being very stylish, better than me. He's not lazy like I am.
All right, then. On that
Tributed
note.
To Jasper.
I think we're going to wrap things up. Morla, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for inviting me. It was really great to talk with you.
So if you have questions, comments, or feedback, you can send those to hello@pixelkin.org. You can find us on Facebook, Pixelkin. You can find us on Twitter, @pixelkin_org and @gamingwithmoms. You can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/user/pixelkin.org. I looked it up so we can say it this time. And we're on Blog Talk Radio as well. You can listen there. I think that wraps them up. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
Bye.
This podcast was recorded in the studios of the Jack Straw Cultural Center in Seattle, Washington.